It's time for the Hour of Power, where numerous churches and ministries in Western Oklahoma come together to produce a program found on the internet at therockchristianmusic.com. If you have a specific prayer request or you would like to share about an answer to prayer in your life, text the word pray to 68683, then share your request. This is your connection to other Christ followers and prayer warriors. Welcome to the Hour of Power.
Good morning. You are tuned into the Hour of Power, the most powerful hour of the day. I'm Tina Dobbs, sitting in the driver's seat this morning. My sister in Christ, Monica Lovell, is over there running the iPad. And our guest this morning is Miss Laura Nell Hayes. How are you doing this morning?
I'm good. How about you?
I am great. It's good to see you this morning.
Good to see you, Tina.
If you have a praise report or a prayer request, you can send them to us three ways. You can email it to hourpower32@gmail.com. You can text it to 580-485-0837, or you can comment on the Facebook post, and we'll do our best to get it on paper and pray for you about halfway through the program. We do record in two parts, and I'll do my best to get that uploaded shortly after the program is ended. There will be a little delay on Mondays, by the way. Our Facebook sponsor for today, I put Gateway in the dealy. Did you check me?
We'll let them sponsor
today.
We'll do things tomorrow.
Okay.
It's okay.
Okay. I don't know why I didn't even look at the paper. I had it in my head that it was Gateway. Our sponsor for today is going to be a surprise Gateway Church. Right here in Elk City, a mile and a half past Tractor Supply. If you'd like a entry onto our book blessing wheel for the month of August, all you got to do is like, share, and comment done on the Facebook post. Our book for August is by Pastor Craig Groeschel called It, How Churches and Leaders Can Get It and Keep It. I think I covered it all. Would you like to pray to start us out?
Sure. Father, we just love you this morning, Lord. And thank you, Father, that you have destined us to crush chaos. And Lord, we just thank you that in Genesis, you fully explained that, Lord. And so, Father, we stand in our world today, sufficient in you, our Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior, that is not only our past salvation, but is present and future. Thank you for who you are. Thank you for meeting the needs of your people today. Lord, your children that love you and those that don't know you. Father, we just thank you for an open heaven, and Lord, we decree and declare that the kingdom of God has come, in Jesus' name.
Amen. I like your title, and I'm really excited because I don't know if I've ever heard anyone speak on this one before, The Stone of Reuben, Vision.
Yes. Actually, if you study the Old Testament, you'll see that the priest wore the ephod, and each tribe had a stone. So this is Reuben's stone that we're going to talk about today, and it does cover vision. It actually is taken out of 1 Kings 18, and this is where Elijah had taken the 12 stones from the altar that had been broken down by the prophets of Baal. You know, those Baal worshipers were rampant in the Old Testament. And the truth is, they're still rampant today. So, you know, some people look at those Israelites and say, oh, blah, blah, you know. But it is still rampant today. Mm-hmm. So anyway, it was the heart of Elijah to repair them. And repair in this context means to heal or cleanse, not from physical sickness, but from the spiritual corruption of Baal worship. So after he repaired the stones, he rebuilt the altar of the Lord with devastating consequences to the demonic prophets. We're familiar with what happened. The Lord always wins, right?
Mm-hmm.
So as I said, each stone represents one of the tribes of Israel, and each tribe shows us the qualities that God is looking for today in a spiritual altar. And what we must do. Reuben was the firstborn of Jacob and Leah, and his literal name, Reuben, means behold a son. Remember, in Old Testament times, and I think it's still relevant for today, that a child was given the name that conveyed the blessing that they lived up according to their name. And my name means victorious one, crowned with light. So I try to live up to that. Mm-hmm. All right? So they could convey a curse too, but we're not going to talk about that. We're going to talk about vision today. From Reuben's name, we get behold the vision, to become aware, distinguish, to advise, to look at, and see as a seer, to make an inspection, to understand, to provide, and to belong. So today we're going to look at some of those qualities. In 1 Samuel 3:1, the word vision and behold the vision bears closer examination, and there's three things here, scriptures that stand out. 1 Samuel 3:1 is the first. It says, now the boy Samuel was ministering to the Lord before Eli, and word from the Lord was rare in those days. Visions were infrequent. They didn't happen very often. In this case, I have some different translations here I want to read because I like the wording. This is from the King James Version. And it says, the word of the Lord was precious in those days, and there was no open vision. So vision is important for us, so we can see what we're doing and where we're going. The distinction is that God's visions bear fruit. When God does things, he does things with redemption in mind. I love that. I love the redemptive God that he is, mm-hmm. always and forever. Okay, the second scripture is Proverbs 29:18, and it says, where there is no vision, the people are unrestrained, but happy is he who keeps the law. And the word unrestrained in this particular scripture means to let go, let alone, loneliness, abandonment, and neglect. Isn't that interesting? And then in Proverbs 29:18, in a different version, it reads, where there is no vision, the people perish, but he that keepeth the law, happy is he. You know, some people get all twisted about the law, mm-hmm. and they don't like that word. But mm-hmm. the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. And it's a place that we must be willing and obedient to do what he's asking us to do. Mm-hmm. It's an attitude. This is another version, the GWT Bible, and it says this, without prophetic vision, people run wild, but blessed are those who follow God's teachings. I like that. Mm-hmm. Part of the definition of vision means dream, and God is bringing prophetic dreams back to his church. We are recapturing the imagination and valuing it. Now, dreams don't necessarily mean things that we have in our sleep. They can be goals, aspirations, things so grand that they're beyond our present reality that we can't even imagine them. But as we follow in the vein of what God is showing us, he brings things to pass. It also means revelation. As when God drops our spirit things of the spirit that we cannot understand without his intervention. I spent a little bit of time with someone last night activating and giving revelation about a word. And we'll talk a little more about that in a minute. Revelation comes from the word oracle, to speak a prophetic word. 1 Timothy 1:18 says, this command I entrust to you, Timothy, my son, in accordance with the prophecies previously made concerning you, that by them you fight the good fight. So we don't just get a word just to get a word. It's it is mandatory for our life, and it is a weapon that we can use. So Paul here was telling Timothy, I want you to fight with your prophetic words that are spoken over you. And you guys were in the Bible study that we did on identity, and we talked about that, how important prophetic words are. They are part of the vision of our lives. They come from the heart of God. And when a true prophet speaks the word of the Lord over our nation, they're reading from the book concerning America. we have several of those people. To mention a few, Chuck Pierce. I've seen that word work in Oklahoma over and over and over, even since the days of the Murrah bombing. So the important thing about when you receive a word is to activate it, follow through, and do what you're supposed to with it. So the word says in Psalms 139 that all of our days are numbered in a book. It says this in verse 16, your eyes have seen my unformed substance, and in your book were all written the days that were ordained for me, when as yet there was not one of them. God saw. So there are books about cities. There are books about nations. There are books about us. And it's not just the book of life. We have books that are written, and they contain vision for each of us. God is awakening fresh vision and bringing it into the church. Remember I said earlier, without prophetic vision, people run wild. Mm-hmm. Where there is no dream, no mental insight, no revelation, nobody speaking, the books of heaven is not being revealed. So people are just running unrestrained and amok and causing chaos. God is corralling the ecclesia. I don't know, that's a term that I like to use because it's a kingdom word. And it is a governing word. So I believe that we have been seated in heavenly places with Christ Jesus. And we're to rule and reign with him, even from this physical earth. And we can declare what can be and what cannot be. The problem is, many don't have the boldness to step out on a limb and say things. Mm-hmm. So, God wants us harnessing the power that he has placed in the ecclesia and becoming the horses running in the battle. I guess that's why I love horses so much. Mm-hmm. We must be people with vision. And we are connected into, you know, our houses of worship. They have vision. We're connected into our families. We are connected into groups and breakthroughs in our state, in our counties, in our nation, in our world. And I want to say this. Nobody's a lone ranger. And the vision God gives for you is not for you alone. It is to serve others. The gifts are to enhance other lives, not make you a big star, you know. And if you have that mentality, you probably won't go as far as you need to. The anointing is for influence, favor, voice, impact, and release of heaven's heart into what God has called you to function in. Remember in the garden, God created Adam, and then he told him, now get to work, mm-hmm. you know. Happy is he who keeps the law. The word law here is actually means direction. Happy is he who keeps the direction. Mm-hmm. That's powerful. Mm-hmm. It also means instruction or be taught. So we could say where there's no vision, the people run wild, they are unrestrained, and they perish. But happy is he who stays on course, who keeps the direction, who heeds to instruction and teaching. The word teaching refers to our spiritual teacher, who is the Holy Spirit. 1 John 2:20 says, we have an anointing from the Holy One. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. That's John 16:13. Isn't that a beautiful promise? Mm-hmm. that he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak on his own initiative, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will disclose to you what is to come. So he's not about himself. He's about the kingdom and what the Father would have to say. So happy is he who follows the instruction of Holy Spirit. Hebrews 2:3 says this, how will we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? After it was the first spoken through the Lord, it was confirmed by those who heard. This is a valid point. Salvation does not just mean a ticket to heaven. The word salvation means to be saved, healed, delivered, set free, and made whole. It's a three-step process. We were saved, that's past. We are being saved, that's present. We will be saved, that's future. Present salvation refers to the ongoing work of redeeming the body, soul, and spirit. It is a recovery from the ravages of sin and the establishment of us as true sons and daughters of God. And I believe our spirit man is to be continually growing and expanding, because the kingdom of God rolls on for eternity. Many people are only living in the past part, salvation as an introduction to forgiveness from God through the blood of Jesus. But hey, that's just the door. There's so much more. So it is time to be set free, delivered, healed, and made whole. If you look at the pattern in the tabernacle that was erected, you'll see the churches inside. You'll see, after you, let me say it like this. When you come from the outer court into the inner court, you'll see the table of showbread, which is symbolic of deliverance. You'll see the altar, and you'll see the candelabra, or the light. So all of those stations mean something. I want to focus on deliverance today, the showbread. Because if we eat the word, it delivers us, doesn't it? And it empowers us. And sometimes we need help from our brothers and sisters in Christ to be delivered. And this is a real controversial subject. I've been a Christian since I was 12 years old. I went to the altar 1,000 times, and my mother was very concerned about me. She's like, what is wrong with this girl? You know? But I had a tender heart toward the Lord, you know, and so every time I heard a fiery preacher, and I heard a lot of them in my days, I was making sure I wasn't going to hell, you know. But I asked the Lord one day, I said, when did I really accept you? And he showed me where I was, and I remember the day. He just took me back to it. I wasn't even in the church. I was under a tree in the backyard, laying on my back in a wheat field, looking up, and I remember saying something like this: if there really is a God, I want you to come into my heart. And he did. But he has been very faithful to me, and I had a situation in my life where sometimes I would just rage. And I couldn't remember what I said after it was all over. So that was a clear indication to me that was a little more than just my mind going off the deep end, you know. So anyway, I was delivered from a spirit of rage. And it was really cool because that thing lived in me and controlled me. But after that deliverance, I was just in a place that I might feel the effect of it, but it didn't have the power that it did before. So deliverance is real. You can't talk me out of it, you know. Yeah. Yes. The consequences of ignoring so great a salvation means that we end up in this place that we're let alone, we're in neglect, and we're out of control. And we see that in America today, cities that where murders and thieves are running wild and lack godly vision. And we're seeing an infiltration of our children that is heart heartbreaking. We must do something about it. Many people allow their children to watch many things. Harry Potter, for instance. You learn to be a sorcerer. So we really need to guard the eye gate and the ear gate of our children and keep them safe. And, you know, with the world of technology that we live in today, there is so much at their disposal. So we need to be diligent in doing that. We want to be brought to a place where the society that's out of control, influenced by powers of darkness, wielding death, poverty, all of that is changed. And we want to make provision for our lives so that we will not react poorly to our conditions, but we will be a source of hope and help and in our communities. Habakkuk wrote this vision, and it says this: I will stand on my guard post and station myself on the rampart, and I will keep watch to see what he will speak to me, and I may reply when I'm reproved. Then the Lord answered me and said, record the vision and inscribe it on the tablets. And he said, that the one who reads it may run, for the vision is yet for the appointed time. It hastens toward the goal, and it will not fail. Though it tarries, wait for it will certainly come. It will not delay. That's a word for us today, because we all have situations where we're standing and believing, and the temptation is to turn back. Can't quit. We can't quit. This passage paints a picture of vision, what God is saying, and how to hear it. It starts with positioning ourselves. The name of the Lord is a strong tower, and the righteous run to it and are saved. And safe. Proverbs 18:10. So if we're on the tower, if we're on the wall, if we're the watchman we're supposed to be, we can see further down the road, and we can see who's coming. We can see who's camped in the field. We can see the enemy approaching, and we can prepare the way. One day I was watching TV, and I say it like this, listening to the talking heads, you know. And just this open vision came, and I literally saw the person that I was watching, what they were doing. The Lord opened that up and showed me, and they were giving bribes to people. They came from the place of authority out from behind the podium and went to the edge of the stage and gave someone money. You know, power corrupts people. Mm-hmm. Money corrupts people if they don't use it in the right way. I saw that just from my living room chair watching. And as a confirmation, the next morning, I got an email from someone said, there's a white rat in Washington. And I thought, and I know who it is. Because the Lord shows us stuff, you know. So we have to keep watch and be diligent to see what he will say to us and what he will show us. And then we have to be diligent in doing what he tells us to do about it. So how do we watch what somebody says? How do we watch words? We hear them, but words are creative, and God brought things into existence by his words. And we learned how we can't talk the language of hell and expect miraculous. We can't curse someone and expect blessing. That's a real challenge, you know? A real challenge. God gives life to the dead and calls us into being that which does not exist, Romans 4:17. And look at Genesis 1, what he said, let there be light, and what happened? There was light. Let there be expanse in the midst of the waters, and guess what? The boundaries were formed. Do you see the power of words and how amazing it is? Let the waters below the heavens be gathered into one place, and dry land appeared. We're created in our Father's image, so our words have power too. So God spoke, and guess what? The universe was created. So it is important that we record the word that God gives us and write it out and watch over it and guard it and keep praying about it, declaring it. What does declaring do? It brings things into existence, doesn't it? A decree is a legal thing that we can do and execute it. God brings laborers for the harvest, not just for the harvest of souls, but for everything that's administered. When Reuben's stone is out of place, we will experience lack of vision, perishing, running wild, hesitation, and poverty. These things hinder us from accumulating and accomplishing the God-given vision and assignment. Then, not understanding the spiritual realities involved, guess what we do? Fuss at God. Mm-hmm. I know y'all have children. Did you like it when they were fussing at one another? I probably said that 1,000 times. Stop your fussing. I wonder how many times God has had to say that to us. Mm-hmm. Stop fussing. God, why haven't you done this? Why haven't you done that? Why haven't you made this happen? That is not a partnership we must enter in. It's not God's fault. So when the altar of God is repaired, it's like a pairing, you know, with a device with the Bluetooth. People will pair with you and help you with the God-given assignments that he's given you quickly. And I just want to ask the question today. Are there things in you that you're believing for? Mm-hmm. How about you, Tina?
Yes, of course.
Of course. So, the word sin means to miss the mark or miss the goal. God is saying the vision is going to hit the bullseye like an arrow shot from a marksman's bow. But sometimes we have to wait for it. It's appointed time. Mm-hmm. So, he's saying to us, hang on. Don't quit. Wait for it. It's going to come. I was in this situation. I had just washed this brown blanket. And God just uses stuff. Sometimes, you know, like, I get it when he shows me weird things, you know. And I had washed the blanket. And whether it was my handprint that actually was on there or if it was supernatural, I can't tell you. But I just folded it over the back of the couch, and I was in a situation that I really had to know that God had his hand on something, you know. And I walked by the couch, and guess what I saw? A handprint on that freshly washed blanket. Like I said, whether it was mine or whether it was supernatural, I don't know. But I do know it spoke to my heart, and he was like, I have my hand in this. Just know that. We need that reassurance sometimes. And he's so faithful to do that for us and to empower us. So, the case in point is, this is a prime example of that. Simeon was an old man when Jesus was a baby and was born. And this was his declaration. He said, now, Lord, you are releasing your bondservant to depart in peace. That's what Simeon said, because he had seen the Lord. In Luke 2 is where it's recorded, and it says, according to your word, for my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light of revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel. Now that was no little thing that Simeon saw. But that was his destiny, to lay his eyes on salvation. So he was saying, this is the moment I was made for. He didn't change nations. He didn't part oceans. He didn't call fire from heaven like Elijah did. His assignment was to bless the king. And he had to wait a long time to do it. But guess what? It was a bullseye moment, wasn't it? So, regardless of how it appears to the world, it will have the impact of a bomb hitting the target when we do the right thing. And it's just the way it works out. Reuben's name, as I said earlier, means behold the sun. And I want to talk about sonship for just a little bit. Are we good here on time?
We now have a good time to go and get
okay.
Delivery.
Okay.
Continue to pray for the family and friends of Pam Patrick, whose service is today at 2. Pray for the family and friends of Tanette Holmes, who went home yesterday. And then pray for my sister, Renee Guilford, who has a doctor's appointment this week for her surgery next week. My sister has had a lot of pain in her life, but God has brought her way out of that through this surgery.
Good.
Do you want to do two parts, or do you want me to go ahead and read these also? Okay. A friend of mine, Sherry Stegman's mom, Connie Bruce, is in the hospital undergoing testing. I don't know any of the details on that. The family of the 16-year-old that was shot at the Choctaw football game, we want to pray for him. And then also there was a 42-year-old that was shot in the chest at that game. He went through surgery through the night, and as far as I know, he's still in ICU in Oklahoma City.
And I want to add to that a little second grader that was actually removed from his home last night. And I don't know what all the ramifications are, but I want to call that family to salvation. And also a little 10-year-old that is cutting such self-hatred. So, Father, we do continue to pray for the family and friends of Pam Patrick, Lord. And, Father, what a joy she was on the earth. Lord, I just think of her and the kindness that exuded from her. And to know Pam was to love her. And Lord, it's going to be a hole that where she was. And so, Father, I just ask that you fill that with yourself. And also for the family and friends of Tanette Holmes, Lord. Monica's friend, Lord, I just thank you for filling that void. Father, heaven rejoices and earth mourns. So, Lord, I thank you that you're with us in these situations. And I continue to lift up Renee for her surgery next week. We thank you, Lord. This is something she's waited for. So we're just grateful that this has come. And we also continue to lift up those who were shot at the Choctaw football game over the weekend. And ask, Lord, that you just continue your healing power. Father, we pray for Connie Brewer.
Bruce,
I'm sorry. Who's undergoing testing, Lord. And we just pray for wisdom and accuracy over this test, Father. Lord, we thank you that you're near the brokenhearted. And Lord, all of these situations bring grief and pain. And we just ask, Father, we invite you into the presence of all of that and ask that you would manifest your glory. In Jesus' name.
I have one more also that I'd like to add. I have a friend named Maria Quast who they decided not to do a biopsy because they want to send her to North Kansas City to make sure that it's not sarcoma muscle cancer, I guess. So okay. We can pray for her.
You want to pray?
I was hoping you would, but we lift up Maria, Lord, and we just pray that you will touch her from the top of her head to the soles of her feet, Father. Bring peace to her mind. Lord, we come against the thoughts of cancer. We bind cancer from her body, Lord. a hedge of protection around her, that all of the tests will be free and clear, and she will be well. Your word says that by his stripes we were healed, and we are claiming that over Maria. In your son, Jesus Christ's name, I pray. Amen.
Amen.
The Refuge Church is now located at New Liberty, 18304 East 1140 Road in Sayre, Oklahoma. Pastor Powerhouse Tammy Bailey. She won't just bless your shoes off, y'all. She'll bless your shoes and socks off. Stay tuned. Don't go away. We'll be right back.